Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, the more famouser Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Today's the day they finally got the replacement for Jimmy Johnson.
We are but 1 hour away from the Brian Schottenheimer press conference.
Heck yeah.
Is this what? Never mind. You know what?
Hey, here's get excited.
Deal. Here's my plan.
It's all the right? Cowboys.
It's true.
I feel like new slate. I need to start off flat. Okay.
Okay.
For Schottenheimer specifically. Yeah. Just for him. There are a lot of negative things that you can look at and go, the offense hasn't been that good. So why do we want consistency and continuity with it if we need to change it? That's a real question I think gets asked today. I think it should. But I want to give him a chance before anything else. It doesn't excite me. It's not something splashy. It doesn't go, you know what, I think this is going to change the culture and everything else. But I also don't feel like you can really change the culture anyway because it's already built and you just have to deal with that. But I'm trying to be flat with it and not go too like about everything about it because there's a lot of things that are not making me excited for it yet.
And that's one of the things I was going to, the way I phrased it, and if you think this is unfair, like we can definitely have that conversation. The Cowboys officially have a new head coach, and it's the guy a lot of folks dreaded.
Yeah.
And that's probably not fair because all of the people that we recommended, hell, you just brought it up. Whether it was Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn or Joe Brady or whoever you thought it was, it's because you love what they did in their previous place, but who's to say you even have the ability to do that here?
Yeah, I mean, like that's one of those. I guess I'm still kind of frustrated that the Cowboys seem so in a silo when it comes to this search thing,
yeah.
And how they're just like, we are not really thinking about what anybody else out there is thinking. We're not going to go try and steal away maybe the best head coach. We're an organization that we're the best. We should go get the best. And instead, they're just like, we've done our research on this, and this fits us well because of consistency. Ben Johnson would have been a fantastic hire,
yeah.
I believe. I mean, just listening to him talk right now, I'm like, wow.
I agree.
So that's kind of the frustrating part is that the Cowboys have just decided we are staying in this silo, and we're not going outside of it no matter what because that's how we do things.
And that would be a question that, look, we'll have the opportunity to talk with Jerry and or Steven again in training camp in Oxnard. But that's one of the questions I would love to come up today. I know Sean had his own set of questions, but one of the questions I hope comes up is, I hope Jerry pushes back and is like, why is there so much negativity in the room? And I hope somebody gets to ask the question, but you realize it's not necessarily because of Schottenheimer, it's because of you. Like, I agree that a lot of people are down on this hire because it's not somebody that was in demand. I have my own thoughts about how they didn't interview any of the people that are in demand. But I think the thing that really annoys people is you don't think that coach will be allowed to coach or do their thing.
He's
their
got 4 years.
Way.
In year one, it's definitely not going to feel like it's turned a corner. I just don't feel like it's going to feel that way at all. Year one, year two, maybe he establishes something. Year three, who knows at that point? Like that year three might be a complete flip again on everything because at that point, can't you walk with the quarterback? So there's a lot of, hey, just wait around for things to happen, but it doesn't feel like that. There's a lot of change.
To go along with all of this, you lose Mike Zimmer and you lose Al Harris. I don't think this was unexpected. We talked about it, but you kind of got the news that Mike Zimmer said he's not coming back to the Cowboys, and there's a good chance that he will retire. Al Harris, he went to the Bears to be their defensive game coordinator and DB's coach. What do y'all think about these losses? Because I get it. you can make a strong argument, new head coach, maybe they'd bring in most of their own new staff anyway, but I was kind of bummed to see Al Harris, especially.
When it comes to losing Zimmer, I think it's Fish that has the quote that he wanted to be the head coach for the Cowboys for the last 25 years. Like, that was his, right. That was his love and passion.
Right.
At least he brought a toughness. It took a while for the defense to grow into that toughness, but at least he brought some toughness that I don't think the Cowboys have. I really don't think that organization has it in those walls, and I want to see better from it. If you get upset that I said that, if any of the Cowboys players are upset that I said that, go do it. Go be better. Go prove it. So I don't have to say it. So it never even crosses my mind. So when it comes to Mike Zimmer, I liked the toughness, but now it's gone. Al Harris, he had the respect of his secondary. All of them loved him. They really cared about him. Stinks they're going to have to go find somebody else for that. But he needs to make a jump as a where his status is anyway.
Yeah.
At some point, he's got to go to the next level.
I'm going to mess up timelines of Marty Schottenheimer coaching like the Kansas City Chiefs. Just bring in Christian Okoye. That was a tough son of a gun. Now, Al Harris is gone. You bring in Christian Okoye as your running backs coach. Mm-hmm. And now I just brought the toughness back.
So you want to build the all-star team of coaches to a certain extent.
Heck yeah. Neil Smith played for Kansas City and maybe Marty Schottenheimer.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who played for Brian Schottenheimer.
All right. So Mike Zimmer gone. Al Harris gone. I believe it was Kevin Coger, the Falcons assistant, that the Cowboys asked for permission to interview their OC. We've talked about Eberflus coming back, which is interesting because I know a lot of people got agitated with Eberflus in Chicago. But before that, it felt like a lot of folks around Dallas had pretty positive stuff to say about it.
Linebackers coach here, and then he goes up to Indianapolis. And Indianapolis, like, he was stout. They had a stout defense. You could say they were, again, a very boring offense when they had Carson Wentz and all the things that they went through up there. But Eberflus, while he was a coordinator, while he was working there, was really good at that part of it. Again, the Bears had a lot of dysfunction. He was part of that. Does that make, like, he was the head coach of it. It was his job to make sure that thing was organized. And they have the talent. We'll see if it works out with Ben Johnson, but they have the talent. And it should have been more organized this past season, and it just didn't look that way. But a lot of people did like him around here, and that's why he gets a second chance with the Cowboys. I think at one point they were looking at him and tabbing him for coordinator,
yeah,
like all sorts of things down here.
I do remember that. I think they were disappointed when he took another, and he obviously went down a career path that got him the job with the Bears and everything
like
that.
It was a hot name.
From the 817, let's not get it wrong. Shoddy was not the first choice. If you're the glorious, big spending, all in Cowboys, how do you miss on your first choice, Mike McCarthy? I do want to say this, and I'll be fine if people are like, no, I think that's inaccurate. If Schottenheimer wasn't the first choice because you wanted to keep Mike McCarthy, I think Schottenheimer was the second choice. Like, I really do. I'm not saying that would have been my second choice, your second choice, anybody else's first choice. I really do think that's the way the Cowboys viewed this. They're like, that's fine. We have a perfectly good head coach candidate right here. Either that or, like, they didn't want to put in the legwork to go out and do all the interviews. I think they interviewed 6 people, I think. Some of these other teams interviewed way more than that. And a couple of them, they were just like, I got to knock these out for the Rooney Rule.
But you know, Kevin, here in 52 minutes, when we play this right here on 105.3 The Fan, home of the Dallas Cowboys, your flagship station.
That's right.
Their message, Jerry and Steven's message, is going to be, we have complete confidence. Y'all don't know what this guy's capable of. We've seen it. We saw it behind the scenes every day. We know his connection with the players. We know the pedigree and the coach. He's got history. He's got it in his blood. He's a coach's son. I mean, Bill Parcells made that very clear. He loved Mike Zimmer, coach's son. Guys that are coach's sons, they're connected to the game in a deeper way. And you guys just don't understand that because y'all haven't seen it yet because Mike McCarthy was here and that was his. Brian Schottenheimer is going to have a completely different approach to this thing. What I'm very interested in with Schottenheimer is, as the head coach now, Kevin, what's his demeanor? Is he a disciplinarian? Is he a friend guy? I don't know who he is.
And that's a great question. Do you get that sense? Like, I get the sense that maybe somewhere in between, maybe that's just the laziest answer possible. He's somewhere in between a player's coach and a disciplinarian. And I don't want to get twisted, his actual coaching persona versus how he talks to the media, because those can be very different. You can be super friendly to the media, and then when you walk in to do film, you're like, hey, shut the hell up.
Yeah, no, and does he have the respect of the players? That's the most important thing. The players and his coaching staff, does he have their respect? Because if he doesn't, those guys aren't going to care. They're going to, when he walks into the room and says, shut the F up, they're just like,
yes,
don't care. Going to keep talking. You're that dude. You're that teacher from Dangerous Minds. I'm not listening yet. By the way, Pelissero said Eberflus headed to Dallas today to interview.
Okay.
As he is expected to be named the defensive coordinator.
Okay. All right. Now, from the 817, this is something I do want to explore. And it was something that we might pick back up again tomorrow as well. A lot of us actually... A lot of us actually want to enjoy this new hire.
I hope so.
And find reasons to be positive. I want to know more specifically from the people what those reasons are. One of the things that Corey has said in the past that I think has the potential to be positive is it does feel like maybe that first year is your opportunity to do things as the head coach the way you want to. And then if it doesn't work out, then you have to fall in line. Just the alternate viewpoint of that really sucks is you're strapped for salary cap space, at least the way the Cowboys like to do it. You're coming back with a quarterback coming off of injury. There are a lot of things working against Schottenheimer from that perspective.
Yeah, that this first year, I mean, it always compared it to the Mike Maddox, and that was my idea, was that Mike Maddox, he would let you go out and pitch your first game, and it was usually terrible. And then he'd say, all right, now do it my way. And like that's how Jerry looks at his coaches. You didn't win the Super Bowl. Now you guys got to go ahead and do it my way. And when it comes to you didn't win the Super Bowl, it's acceptable. That's the culture problem that you got to demand more success out of it. And so that's going to be more work on Jerry and Steven in the front offices to continue demanding more out of these coaches and these players.
So if I had to ask you guys a question, which one do you think was a better hire or going to be a better hire, Brian Schottenheimer or Bruce Bochy?
A million percent.
One's turned into a World Series already. So, but even when it before
Bruce
it happened,
Bochy for sure.
Even really? Before it happened, we knew, we were like, this is top of the class manager right here. Like you went and got Bill Belichick, you went and got one of those, an Andy Reid, you got one of the best to do it. And that's what when Chris Young said, I want to win one, that's what he said he needed to make happen.
You guys answered that quick. That seemed like a tough question.
And then went and got one of the best pitching coaches. You know, it was like, let's get the best pitching coach. Let's get one of the best hitting coaches. They got the best at everything. And because they said, we want this.
Eberflus or Mike Maddox?
I like Mike Maddox a lot.
Yeah, it's very difficult for me to vote against anybody that won me a World Series.
By the way, somebody did ask, can you tell me more about Eberflus? I'm not familiar. So he was here, I think, for 7 years as linebackers coach. And then eventually, and I always find this fascinating, he was linebackers coach and the passing game coordinator. And so they really liked Eberflus, and there was some discussion about him moving up or potentially having a coordinator role. And that's where Indianapolis came in, and they're like, no, we'll go ahead and make you the DC right now. I do remember, because like history gets kind of changed up when it fits more with your narrative, and a lot of people are like, I can't believe we let Dan Quinn go. Make no mistake about it. If the Cowboys would have gotten rid of Mike McCarthy last year and hired Dan Quinn, people here in the Metroplex would have been furious. They would have been so mad about that. And so I know Eberflus, after Indianapolis, he went to the Bears, he had a lot of trouble with clock management. But going up through the positional coach and potential coordinator rank, people liked him here in Dallas.
Yeah, did you say that when he went up to Indianapolis, that was Josh McDaniels going there to be the head coach?
Yeah, no.
And he was already ready to be the defensive coordinator, and then they were like, Josh McDaniels bails, and he's like, hold on, who's my head coach? And they were like, maybe we'll just make Eberflus the head coach. And then I think they turned to Frank Reich there.
And from the 4-6-9, Schottenheimer was hired for one reason, Dak. All right. I do want to say this, and if people want to get mad, I understand. There are a lot worse reasons to hire a head coach than somebody who works well with your quarterback. And I hope Schottenheimer is like, let's take advantage of the things that Dak can do and not the things that he can't do. Because one of the problems that I think the Cowboys have really fallen into is, oh, we paid Dak all of the money either this time or 4 years ago. So clearly he's going to step up his game. Well, what kind of sense does that make? So I hope Schottenheimer's at least like, hey, I love Dak Prescott because he can do A, B, and C, but he can't do X, Y, and Z. So let's stop programming packages and plays around that because he can't do it.
Yeah, there are things that we have to be realistic about what we are as a team, what we see in front of us. And that's the only way to really evaluate yourself is to know what you're capable of. Otherwise, you can't build what you want.
Watching the championship games yesterday, how many times did you guys watch all four quarterbacks and go, Dak can't do that anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the running part of it, when they take off up the middle, I was just like, oh, or when they're rolling out.
Getting more time. That's the tough thing is
that, I agree with that.
Shoddy's going to have to deal with a very statue-like quarterback.
Yeah, that's gonna be the tough part of it.
And from the 4-3-2, you're nuts. Everybody wanted Dan Quinn moved to head coach. Not at the end. There was a time when everybody wanted that. But by the end of the season, and after your defense has gotten gashed again in the playoffs, people wanted him out and definitely not the head coach.
Look what he did. He couldn't even make it to the Super Bowl.
Well, that's a good point. He could not even make it to the Super Bowl. Coming up next, let's break down Conference Championship Sunday, and did you get the Super Bowl matchup you wanted? Next, right here on The Fan.
Here's Barkley, a little shovel, looking for an edge, gets it. Saquon Barkley, first down. Barkley! Oh! Saquon! Touchdown!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's talk about the conference championship games. Maybe answer the question, did you get the Super Bowl that you wanted? If we're going to focus on one at a time, do you guys want to go with Washington, Philly, or do you want to skip to Kansas City, Buffalo?
Let's go with the first game.
Yeah, those are two teams the Cowboys are taking down next year.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but fingers crossed. I know this is a ridiculous question because the game stayed close for a while. Is there any part of you that when Saquon took the first offensive play for Philadelphia, 60 yards for a touchdown, you thought this game is over?
I thought it was over before that.
Wow, really?
When they went for it twice on fourth down and then decided to kick a field goal to wrap up the 12-play plus drive, I was like, that's not Dan Quinn for one.
Yeah.
They go for it all the time. What are they doing right now? And then they just said, you know what? We've gambled enough. Now it's time to just get some points. Ah, man, gamble again. You're probably going to need to do that. So that was when I thought. And then, Kevin, it followed up and cemented my thought when Saquon Barkley took off and did what he did.
My answer is no.
That dude's okay, special.
Because I'll tell you, Mike, and I know even at that point, it was only 7-3. Washington was getting the ball back. I thought it was over just because I was like, this is going to be such a long day for Washington's already like questionable run defense.
They're missing pain.
Yeah, yeah. And now clearly by the time you get, you know, midway through the fourth quarter, you're a 2-point conversion away from the game being tied right back up. But that play, I just was like, oh my gosh, this game is going to be a disaster. There is no way by the time we got to midway through the second quarter, I thought it would end the way it did. Like, the fourth quarter was a massacre. Yeah,
what an amazing fourth quarter.
It really, really was.
And I turned it off just because I was rooting for Washington, and I knew Phil. Like, at some point, I was like, I can do something else and wait for the Super Bowl, and I watch the Super Bowl later. But
I actually have questions about that probably later in the week.
The reason that I thought Washington still had a chance, even though it was 7-3 with one play, is Philadelphia has struggled to score points. And so I thought, well, that's huge. And look, they're the better team. They're at home. They're the higher seed. A rookie quarterback, as far as I can recall, has never gone to the Super Bowl.
Correct.
So it was going to be very difficult. There are a lot of things going against them. But I just thought, hang in there. And they made it 14-12. I believe they didn't get the 2-point conversion.
That is correct.
And then it got to be 27-12. And that's when I was like, crap, this is probably over at that point. But I was still holding out hope.
The first touchdown in the third quarter, though, had to pretty much cinch it for you.
Yeah, and I watched a little bit more of it. I didn't watch much of the fourth because I was like, I get it. Philadelphia is going to win, and Jaundice Boy is going to have a blast. Even though he doesn't look
less jaundicey. Yeah,
like I'll give it to him, man. He's gotten enough sun over the last year or so that the Eagles head coach has beaten jaundice.
Hey, I do want to just bring this up
the
real
Commanders.
Quick.
Yeah.
Did
I beat jaundice.
Did you know Nick Sirianni before he was head coach of the Eagles?
Not really.
I got it. Shoddy. We got our Sirianni.
Isn't that how
oh, like,
I would say there are some times head coaches do pop up. You're like, where the hell did they come from? So
that's
like,
what I'm thinking.
They both wear visors sometimes. I don't know, man. So
maybe he can wear one of those beanies that barely, like, it goes over your eyebrows. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, can this coach see what is happening in this game right now?
Doesn't matter as long as he can push through.
Oh, man, that is fascinating. So his last major job before taking over the Eagles was he's the OC of the Colts. And there was some crossover when we got Eberflus. Okay.
I told you, Washington and Philly's in trouble next year. It's over.
The thing about that, though, is they gave Sirianni, they handed him a fantastic roster.
The best roster in the NFL,
and
right?
The year they went to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And then this year, the best roster in the NFL. Like, you can point to every single position.
Agree.
And that's, you know, Mike, you were bringing that up earlier with when looking at the Cowboys, or looking at the quarterbacks in this playoffs and comparing, like, to the Cowboys.
Yeah, off the air.
When we kind of had that conversation, the whole teams, they look different. Their defensive lines get better pressure. Their offensive lines did kind of struggle in some of these games. But their running backs, good. Their receivers, stout. Tight end. You're like, oh my gosh, how deep are these teams? So that's the difference to me when I look at it is Kevin Sirianni had really good talent to work with. I'm not sure, and even the 22 missing free agents now, I'm not sure where the Cowboys stand on that front.
I know you don't get to change it retroactively, and we had that discussion last week. That's not how the MVP works, but man, when I'm watching this thing, I'm like, I think the writers got it wrong. Saquon Barkley. No. Yes. In the playoffs, that's a totally different deal. I think Saquon Barkley should have been the MVP of the league this year. He is just...
Maybe he is.
It could be. He's a finalist. I don't think he's going to win it, but...
They should vote after these games.
We went over that last week. He had 7 touchdowns against the Commanders in 3 games this season. His first 2 carries, he had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
And then this is the most humbling statistic of all. Now, Mike, I know you're not going to like this statistic because you're clearly super on board with the Cowboys today.
Heck yeah, man.
So don't listen to this statistic.
Got a Hall of Famer running the show.
The Eagles had more rushing touchdowns yesterday. Than the Cowboys did all season.
Oh, man.
I think there's some people that think if Rico Dowdle was their starting running back, it would be as good, maybe even better.
I think that those people are mistaken.
Doesn't matter.
I would disagree with that
person. They would have lost those games with Emmett or without Emmett. It didn't matter.
Oh, now I know what you're referencing. So the Eagles had 7 rushing touchdowns, tied for the most in a playoff game in NFL history with... The 1940 Bears, who also beat Washington. No, Walter Payton was not on that team or even born yet, I don't think.
Neil Anderson.
No, also incorrect. But the Bears won that game 73-0. So,
oh, what?
Yeah. Washington is on the wrong end of two of the biggest thrashing in the history of football, and then one of the biggest thrashings in the history of playoff football, and they gave up 7 rushing touchdowns in both of them. It was incredible to watch. That team is really, really good. Now, I'll go ahead and give you a preview. I'm still going to pick the Chiefs because I'm not going to pick against the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Makes sense.
But I do think we've got a ball game on our hands. You know, like you talked about seeing the Super Bowl yesterday. I'm not disputing that. But I do think Philadelphia, when they have someone in Saquon who's like, I don't care what my career was before, I'm going to smash it down your
throat. Let me just give you a history lesson. How many Super Bowls have the Chiefs won?
4.
Have they?
Because they won Super Bowl 4.
Heck yeah. How many have the Eagles won?
1.
All right, add those.
Don't do this, Mike. I know what you're doing.
Cowboys have 5.
Oh, my God.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Should I count on this level of disrespect?
It is rough to see the Eagles go to the Super Bowl twice.
It sucks.
Since we've been on radio. Actually, 3 times since we've been on radio. Like, that stinks, and the Cowboys haven't been there.
Don't forget the 4th time when Donovan McNabb led them to a Super Bowl one.
We weren't on radio at that point, but I appreciate you, Mike.
They've been to the Super Bowl 4 times since the Cowboys have, but still have not been to the Super Bowl as many times as the Cowboys have.
Going back to the team-building concept, if you're walking away from this game and saying defensive tackles don't matter.
Oh my gosh.
Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter are phenomenal. And,
like, and I feel like we talked about them Georgia boys when
over and over. I was like, trade up, go get these guys. And they're just dominant forces on the field. And then when you can add in, like, Zach Bond, getting him was, hold on, what? Where'd that come from? They add him, and he's a fantastic player, potential defensive player of the year candidate. Yeah. But you add in two rookies in your secondary, and they're studs. That's the level of play and the level of expectation that's in Philadelphia right now.
Now, give me cut number 8 if you can. Let's go ahead and move over to Kansas City and Buffalo.
Long count. Chiefs are going to throw it. They throw it in the left flat. Cut! It's Samaje Perine at the 30. First down! And up the left sideline! I love you, Samaje Perine! I remember when Brett Veach told me they picked him up, it's a gain of 18 yards. I poured water on my head. And the Kansas City Chiefs are going to pull this off!
What a brag.
Okay, I didn't follow all of that, but I caught most of it. And that was Perine's first touch of the game, which is, like, just think about how crazy that is. Hey, I know I haven't used this guy all game, and I know we're going to pass the ball one time, and the difference could be us going to the Super Bowl for a historic third straight time after we won the first two. Let's go to that guy.
Yeah.
Because, like, sounds good.
Because every guy on the roster is there for a reason.
Yeah.
They believe that every dude on this roster is here for a purpose, and he might be have a Corey Brewer moment, but we're going to have, and to go along with it, the guy that is calling the plays for it knows what every single one of these dudes can do and what they can't do.
Man.
And he's like, this is what we're going to use you for. And if you're not Xavier Worthy, I thought he was a gimmick to start the season. And here in the playoffs, you're like, oh man, he's a good receiver with this team.
I think he's
the
learning,
way they're using him. Yeah. He's gotten better.
They've limited. I think that they, as time has gone on this season, they're like, all right, let's just give him plays that maybe work for him and not try to make him a number one receiver in his rookie year.
Yeah.
And they're the best.
They are.
And
Juju Smith-Schuster's career was over to start this year.
I know that they, right. Oh gosh. Can you imagine Juju Smith-Schuster, Hollywood Brown? I know that Hopkins hasn't had much of an impact in the playoffs. That stupid organization is like getting people from other teams to try to help them out. That's just dumb.
Two catches for 60 yards.
Just draft the guys that you draft.
I get it, Mike. I understand.
Just figure it out.
I get it.
If you draft them, they are the best.
I get it.
I look at Patrick Mahomes, and this year they've struggled to score points. Factually, that's why he's not in the MVP race, even though he went 15-1 as the starting quarterback and not in the MVP
race. It is an
odd
dynamic. Yeah, I'm with you.
Is their defense, I get, got a few good stops, but they gave up 29 points, and they did get a stop at the end to pretty much win the game. They needed Patrick Mahomes to run out the clock, and he did it. But when you needed 30 points, Patrick Mahomes said, I'll get you those 30 points.
Yeah, absolutely he did. And You know, you sent me a text.
With no turnovers either, right?
Yes.
They did Kansas City turn over the ball, but the defense didn't get like a big turnover.
And I do believe they might be the first team this postseason run to lose the turnover battle and win the game. True. Is you sent me a text and said, can the Chiefs score a touchdown with less than a minute to go? And I know they didn't.
In there were 6 minutes and 15 seconds when they got the balls. Like, can they do kind of that thing where they milk the clock and score?
And they did not. But my immediate response was, if any team can do it, this is the team. I know I went back to beating this drum last week. I am just curious again about, you had a game, and maybe it wouldn't have worked out for the Bills either way, but you had a game where your running back was getting work done. James Cook, 139 total yards, 2 touchdowns, 16 touches, 8.6 yards per touch. He didn't get a touch on the final drive.
What? You're kidding me.
That
doesn't make any sense to me.
They got the ball back with 3 minutes to go approximately.
They had plenty of time, and they had all three of their timeouts. And it was oddly similar to when Baltimore got the ball back against Buffalo. I just don't understand. I know keeping the ball in Josh Allen's hand, I get that. But, like, James Cook was having a great game.
He was
your
stud.
Yeah, and they were like, meh. We don't need you on this one.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me. I don't know if I feel like Brady got a little caught up in, all right, now it's time for Josh Allen to shine. In this moment that would typically be Patrick Mahomes' moment, it's time for Josh Allen to shine. and he wasn't calling things that would have set up Josh Allen for better moments. Every down, they looked at it and said, oh, he's about to drop back and pass. We know what we can do. All we got to do is throw pressure. And Steve Spagnuolo is brilliant at throwing, well, hey, guess what? I'm going to throw a cornerback blitz at you in one of the biggest moments in the game. Gotcha. Like, that's just what he does. So I didn't understand why they didn't try to off-balance that by throwing a little more James Cook run.
If Kincaid catches that ball, do you think Buffalo wins? Or do you think they
tie it up?
You think they kick a field goal?
I think they kick a field goal and tie it. I think they go for it, but I think they kick a field goal and tie it up, and we're in overtime discussing one of the greatest AFC championship games again.
That's hard to argue against. I think I'm going to go in a different direction because I'm trying to think of the answer to your question. I think Buffalo would be like, we're going to score a touchdown or we're going to lose the game. Like, I think that's where they would have gotten. Now, would that have been the smart play? Don't know about that. Because I just worry, and I'm sure Josh Allen worries. You're like, what do you want me to do? Score a touchdown score with 13 seconds left? Oh, wait, I already effing did that against this exact same team. So I do kind of wonder if Kincaid catches that, if Buffalo's like, hey, let's figure it out. We're going for the win or we're going home.
I will say this. Most people weren't alive for the Cowboys being good at football, and most people that are listening weren't alive for Michael Jordan, and that's why they think LeBron is better. This is how it felt like, and I know that they haven't won the Super Bowl yet. This is how it felt like if you were a fan of any other team in the 90s in basketball.
So can I tell you, I actually followed a thread of those analogies, and that's why I thought Josh Allen was going to win. So it was amazing. Franchise history titles between Michael Jordan and the Bulls and Josh Allen and the Bills, 0. Playoff win-loss record against that specific opponent. For Michael, it was the Pistons. For Josh Allen, it was the Chiefs, 0-3. Was the opponent seeking a three-peat? The Pistons were, and so are the Chiefs. They were both in their 7th season, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's going to do it. And then the same thing happened that always happens, is it always looks different, but the Chiefs find a way to win.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
It really
is
impressive.
I mean, you can hate Patrick Mahomes, you can hate the refs. Just know you're probably watching the greatest quarterback in football history.
See,
that is fun to watch.
I get the refs more, and clearly last week I ranted about the off the field stuff for the Chiefs. I don't know if I understand the hating of Patrick Mahomes, like the player and the human being. That I don't get as much. Like, if you think the refs are in the pocket, like, I'm not going to argue that with you. I don't necessarily think that, but I'm not going to argue that with
you. If you're a hardcore fan of your team, you're just jealous that you're like, they got to go 7 times in a row.
Fair.
They've been to 5 Super Bowls now in 7 years with this guy, and nobody thought he was going to be great out of Texas Tech. Dude. It's one of those things where if you're Buffalo, this will be maybe for Mike Ask Football Questions tomorrow. Do Buffalo fans just throw up the way Milwaukee Bucks fans throw up and go, wait, that was our pick? That was Buffalo's pick.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes' pick was the Buffalo Bills' pick.
You know who I will give credit to? Lee Steinberg. He's like, you just watch
how
high in the draft he goes. And I was like, okay, Lee. And then it happened. And then this all happened. I was like, oh. Yeah.
When Milwaukee was like, no, we want Tractor Trailer.
Yeah.
Dirk German guy.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for early Gridiron Gravy. More from the AFC and NFC title games, and a lot of folks are about to learn what Tubi is. Next on The Fan.
Zeros on the clock. The Flares fly skyward, and the Eagles not just beat, but annihilate the Washington Commanders 55-23.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Got Gridiron coming up in just a second. But you heard the preview. We're going to be at the Super Bowl next week. Remember, last year's Super Bowl was in Las Vegas, which, you know, if you download the Odyssey app and listen to The Fan on the app for an hour, you have the opportunity to win the ultimate trip to Vegas. If you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, make sure you get your hour in to be automatically entered into the Odyssey National Contest for a chance to win a vacation for 4, airfare, hotel, and $5,000 for each person.
I'm sorry, what?
That's right. Each person, 1, 2, 3, 4, multiply that up. For the College Hoops Championship, download the app if you don't have it already for your chance to listen and win. Now.
Is that 20 grand?
That's right.
And the trip and all this stuff?
That's right. Hey, I wish I could win.
To go enjoy Vegas?
I am ineligible. However, you guys are eligible.
This is awesome. All you have to do is listen?
That's right, for at least an hour. Now, time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go!
Now, I wanted to play a cut that I don't believe I'd ever heard this before. Let's go back to that Philadelphia game. Let's play cut number four. I mean, I'm not saying this is inaccurate. I trust the officials know the rules. But I had honestly never heard this until the ref walked up and gave us a stern talking to.
Encroachment, defense number 93. Washington has been advised that at some point the referee can award a score if this type of behavior happens again. For now, it's a replay of second down.
Now, I'm not going to lie. I did like all of the memes that showed Patrick Mahomes' face light up when he heard that officials can just award you the points.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was like,
they can just give me points.
I have never heard that.
Me either.
In my life.
No, and you would have had to have read the whole rule book. And,
well, I did not.
And consumed it and kept it.
Yeah.
You know, that's not one of those, like, that's the one you're like, huh, what? Yeah, when I heard that, it reminded me of playing MLB The Show with Mike, and he just kept beaning my player over and over.
COVID. Yeah.
And like the manager and the other dugout was all ticked off, and eventually they just kicked Mike's pitcher out, and I was like, oh my gosh.
The game quit.
Oh yeah, the game just stopped playing.
You lost. Like, all you're doing is pegging guys. And okay. I was like, well, they keep arguing. Why don't you come out to the mound and do something about it? They just kept walking to first. I was tired of the game. But that wasn't the case. I was with Tom Brady. They were just, it's a close to impossible play to defend. And the only way to do it, and they did it one time earlier, is you time it perfectly. They might have done it twice. So then they started changing the snap count. I don't think they were intentionally jumping off sides. They were like, look, this is an impossible play to defend unless you time it perfectly. And I get it. It was five offsides in a row.
Yeah,
I think
it was something.
But the penalty was like one
inch.
We'll
just give you the points.
And I was like, well, they're not intentionally jumping offsides. Tell those guys to stop changing up the snap count.
That's a good point.
Like, yeah, you can't keep trying to trick us to jump offsides. Like, eventually, isn't it the offensive fault too? Like, hey, you guys keep tricking them to jump offsides. Stop doing that.
I wonder why that is the rule. Because it's irritating the other team. Like, what's the
technically mathematically? It would always just get to be a smaller 0.001.
Yeah.
And I like you're like I never you never actually make it into the end zone. They're like, you know what? Now you do.
And they did just keep ticking time off the clock.
True.
Like that was the punishment already, was that you're losing clock for your offense.
Now, we talked about the big play with Dalton Kincaid. The rush came. Josh Allen was in a lot of trouble. Just had to kind of chuck the ball up in the air. Dalton Kincaid turned around, saw it, made what I thought would have been a really heads-up play.
Valiant
then,
effort.
Yeah, and then he dropped the ball. So he said after the game, it sucks a lot. And then you hear this quote, and I feel really bad for the guy. Josh got the ball off. He was pressured, and it was hanging up there, and I just wasn't able to catch it. Right now, it obviously hurts a lot, and it's going to linger for a while. But eventually, you got to move on, and hopefully, you grow from this. And I believe that will be the case. But for the time being, it's going to hurt a lot. You can almost see the tears in his eyes, like, almost immediately, because he was like, I should have freaking caught that ball.
Yeah. Listen.
Would that have changed the final outcome?
Maybe,
don't know.
Maybe. It could have. But you, as much of the killing of Dalton Kincaid as he's going to get, and Josh Allen, that Kansas City Chiefs defense is really good. They're here for a reason.
Yeah.
It's not because a lot of people say they lucked into it. I'm not going to say that. But
that's a lot of luck.
Their defense, they called the right plays on that drive. They called some really good defensive plays on that drive. So I got to give them a lot of that credit. They made it as difficult as it possibly could be on the Bengals to pull that drive off.
Hey, talking about crying, man. Chris Jones cried a lot in that game.
Yeah.
Very emotional.
I was kind of, I hadn't.
Before the game and then the big stop, or maybe it was the first down where he felt like.
Yeah.
I can't remember, late in the game, there was a situation where you're like, the Chiefs haven't won, but it feels like they're going to win. And and then they show Chris Jones crying over there. And I mean, good for him. I'm not saying it's wrong.
Sure.
It's just like he definitely gets emotional before the game and then as the game ends. And so
now Joe Brady, much like he decided to stop using Cook yesterday in the important parts of the game, he's also decided he will not be the head coach for the Saints.
Oh, man.
He's like, hey, I appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and stay here with Buffalo. Let's talk about Tubi. Mike, do you know what Tubi is?
I feel like that's in the summertime on the Brazos River.
No, not inner Tubi. Just Tubi. Alec?
You get a tube with a beer.
That's where he was going, right? Like, yeah. That's where you were going.
You have a tube and you just kind of go down the Brazos, or is it the San Marcos River?
You can go down Texas the Brazos. State.
Do not type in Tubi, T-U-B-I, and hit the news button because it's not suitable for work.
Oh, no. Okay, well, I thought the thing in the news about Tubi is they were going to exclusively stream the Super Bowl. So, if you're not familiar with Tubi, basically that really terrible...
Sorry, what?
Yeah, Tubi. So, you know that really terrible movie that's been on your mind that you want to watch and no reputable streaming service has it? That is where you go to Tubi, you get to watch it for free, and you have to just deal with the commercials, all right? That's where you find it on Tubi. And Tubi is going to be exclusive streamers for the Super Bowl 59 broadcast. So if you've cut the cord on everything, if you still have regular TV and everything, you'll be fine. If you've cut the cord on everything, Tubi is going to be where you want to go.
So I can still go through Fubo
and watch
it on Fox.
Yes. Correct.
Where when I Googled who's doing the Super Bowl this year, it said Fox, and it had pictures of Greg Olson and Kevin Burkhardt. And I was like, oh, man, that's tough for Greg Olson.
They've had off for a while. They're fresh.
By the way, I will give Tom Brady, I enjoyed what he did this year. I enjoyed his color commentating on the call.
And who does he work with?
Kevin Burkhardt.
Yeah, I don't know that because he doesn't say Kevin after every sentence.
like Tony Romo.
Okay, and you're sad about that.
Oh, come on, Jim.
I feel like this has been a good segment so far, Kevin. I'm wondering what's up next, Kevin. Corey?
You know, Jim, it's either a hold or it's an offsides. Well, it's a legal procedure. Hey, that was my next choice.
I think they're going to go for it here, Jim.
The 858, Google search Tubi, and now I have to go to HR. See, I warned people, so I'm just saying.
From the, a couple of other notes for you. Will Anderson was fined actually only $25,000. I thought it was going to be more when he goes, yeah, we knew it was going to be us against the Chiefs and the refs. I am surprised he only got a $25,000 fine. Couple of other things for you. The NFL is going to expand their replay assist for plays like the Patrick Mahomes slide. They're going to take a look at that. And then Jabril Peppers. This is important because I don't want to just do the first part of the story and ignore the second part. Jabril Peppers, the New England Patriots safety, he did get acquitted in his assault and battery trial on Friday. Peppers testified. The turnaround was quick, and they said not guilty. But he got his acquittal, so he should be free and clear. But with the NFL judicial system, who the hell knows?
Kevin, from the 903, positive thoughts here. If Shoddy's on time for his press conference, then we're going somewhere.
Dude, let's go.
That is a great point. Hey, coming up next.
I'm ready.
Well, I already like Brian Schottenheimer.
It's a championship press conference coming
more than Mike McCarthy. We'll find out next on The Fan.